short. So pay attention, can you afford? Everyday conversation, decision making, breakdown, point of views, of course. Let's go. He say, she say, see how we play. Real life issues, hit the replay. Okay. Debate in politics, right. What sport you profit with? Today's world news, food for thought, so come get a plate. Pull up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome y'all to another episode of the Daily Dollar Show podcast. It is your host, Martin. I'm with my fellow co-hosts, Marlon and Jayhawk, Key Sweat. So we are joined today by Marlon. I'm going to let you do the introduction.
Go ahead, sir. Okay, sure thing. This is our good fraternity brother, Mr. Master Woodfork. He is an accountant. He has so many things on his resume. So, brother, thank you for joining us.
Appreciate y'all. Thank y'all so much for having me.
Hey, not a problem, man. Happy to have you. I'm looking forward to the conversation today. Political conversations are always fun. Especially we've taken Marlon has taken his political journey into getting more informed.
It's definitely a process. Like, so for example, Masters was on a panel of the Power and Politics event they had of Why Should We Vote. It was him, it was Troy Glover. Morgan Walker, De Niro, and they're hosted by Mr. Happy Hour. It was definitely a good event to kind of see why people don't vote, just kind of educating people why they should vote. So it was definitely a good conversation. So, Mass, how did you even get on the panel in the first place?
So, Morgan had DM'd me on Instagram about being on the panel. So I've been following her for a while now just because, like, you know, she was in the party scene and then she started the organization Bike and Vote. So she seen me around a few campaigns that I was on, and we officially met at like a neighborhood association meeting once. So I DM'd her like right after about some things. So I guess she's just been like following like all my moves since. And so she DM'd me, was like, hey, you could be on this panel. And I'm like, nah, you know, I don't like public speaking. So she was like, well, it's just going to be like a conversation. I'm like, I guess. So that's how I got on it.
So how did you get into this journey of like getting involved in these kind of events? Like what started you to get there?
So I've always been interested in like politics and law. So even in high school, I took like civics and law studies. And then once I joined the great fraternity that I am, my chapter advisor, Tyrone Walker, who is also a campaign manager, I reached out to him and I was like, hey, I want to get involved into like the campaigns and stuff that you're doing. He's like, okay. So the first like event I did with politics was I was on this campaign, like literally for one day on election day, was driving the candidate around, canvassing, knocking doors. Then after that, he put me on another campaign, which was the Vote for NOLA Kids millage that we passed. And then from there, just trickled down. Was on Royce Duplessis' campaign, the governor's campaign, and then I just became a campaign manager myself for a lady named Sylvia Taylor, who was in District 57 in La Plata. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, congratulations on becoming a campaign manager. I mean, clearly you worked your way up to being that. Like, you went from driving and knocking doors to now you're running somebody's campaign, bro. That's big. That's
yeah. I started with sign waving on election day, you know, getting that $100.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then all the way to campaign manager. And, you know, with that, that's like the full 360. You got your hands in everything. So it was a great experience for my first time doing it. So,
okay. That's what's up, man. So looking at New Orleans politics, we have some changes coming up. You know, this is TD's last go. We have a new governor in place. You know, there's supposed to be a lot of things happening from the governor on down. How do you look at these changes that have happened, and what's kind of your take on it?
I mean, I tried warning people before when it came to the governor's race, but, you know, everybody was focused on homecomings and the Saints game in Texas. So, you know, we got what we got, you know. Yeah. So recently, you know, he has came in full swing. He's trying to change, like, everything, reverse pretty much a lot of things that John Bell has done. One of the things is she's abolishing the appeal process when it comes to leap testing.
I saw that, yeah.
Like our state is already ranked very low in the education system. So in all the, and then you're gonna go and then appeal, like stop the appeals, which is gonna be hurtful to our people mainly. And then he's trying to do like the closed primaries when it comes to elections, and recently, just this week, he's trying to bring back the death penalty.
I saw
And
that. And with new options for killing people via the death penalty.
so right now there's a nationwide shortage on the lethal injections.
Oh,
So
wow.
Alabama just recently executed a man using nitrogen gas, first time being used on a human. So he's trying to bring in different ways, would be gas, firing squads, they said, and even hanging, which is like back like slavery almost at this point. So
Fire.
it's crazy.
Yeah, fire
Yeah,
squad, I think
why?
it's
Why hanging? That makes no sense. Like hanging. Like why? Like what is that? look, death by hanging prior to slavery, more prior to slavery in the institution that we know it has been around for a long, long time. You know, death by hanging was a thing, you know, prior to the discovery of the Americas. They hung people. So we're
Or
in
chop your head off.
2024. Yeah. Why are we going backwards? I don't know. I'm
It's
sorry.
it, hey, look, this is like I say, he's like Trump Jr. and it's gonna be more effect on us because he's closer. This is our state governor. So it's the pain is gonna be there every day. And I feel like, he's gonna have his hand in, electing the next mayor of New Orleans since he's so invested into our city when it comes to like crime, and that we are the driving force for the whole state. So I think he's gonna have a huge impact on who would be the next mayor of New Orleans as well.
Do we see anything good coming from Governor Landry, in your opinion?
Anything good? I mean, I know everything I just said, see, sounds bad.
I'm just wondering.
But I think there will be good things coming through, and being that there are people that I personally know that's on his transition team, especially for New Orleans, I think, with those influences from those people, he's going to bring some good things. Like, we all know that crime, especially in New Orleans, is way out of control. And it's been going on far too long. And so I think some of the things that he's doing, like deploying more officers in the city, I know a lot of people is kind of skeptical of that, but I mean, we have to face it. We're in a shortage of police officers, so we have to do something. So by bringing state troopers in, I think that'll be a good thing. But I mean, other than that, I don't know. I'll just see. He scares me a little bit, but I feel like, down the road, I think he'll bring a little good things. And I know some people may say, oh, well, he bought the second congressional black district, but I mean, that was a Supreme Court order, so they had to do it. It wasn't like he wanted to do it. He had to do it. So,
I mean, and if we're looking at the way these districts are drawn, they're not, yeah, like it's not drawn in favor of anyone. You know, yeah, he was forced to do it. He didn't have an option. He didn't have a choice in it. He had to do it. So let's draw it in the most out of pocket way possible to take all of these voters out of other districts.
Yeah, it was drawn very specifically. I don't want to say get at somebody else, but it was drawn very specific to someone he had an issue with. Just drawn like right down the middle and cut a district right in half.
Right, yeah, cutting districts in half, which have views and stuff, so it's gonna be crazy. But it was either, they draw it how they draw it, or the Supreme Court was gonna draw it, and if they drew it, it would have been a little bit more in favor one way than the other.
Which way?
The minority way. The real,
The way it should have been.
right, yeah.
You know, and that's honestly, I'll say this, and this is just me being an outsider of politics. I am in favor of third parties drawing districts that are not affiliated or aligned with anyone in the state they're drawing a district for. I
Right.
think ideally that would make sense. Because we see what happens. Districts get drawn all over the US and all these states, and districts just look like, you know, like chicken scratch. You know, somebody, the shaky hand just think I'm gonna do this here, and that's what you get out of it.
I
So
think we do
with
that. Well, quick question. I want to say, I also read that they're also looking to send like criminal cases to the DA for Republican Party. That's also, okay, a bad thing as well.
Oh, that's the stuff that happens here.
Yeah.
I
Oh
think.
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, just
I
making
told.
sure I'm like
I
with
told
live
you. I
shots.
told you. I told you. Is he's coming in full force with everything. So
Yeah.
by that going straight to the AG office, he felt like our DA wasn't doing enough in the city. Which I mean, some other citizens here had the same views on it, but. Now those crimes are going to be, judged even harder. So it may
Yeah.
be something simple and, whoever it is, which is mostly, our teenage kids or get crazy charges and sentences. And that's going to be a whole nother thing that we're going to have to fight.
So if you get stopped by a state police officer, just know if you are in commission of a crime, it's not going to be prosecuted here.
Going to Baton Rouge, right?
Yeah.
Now everybody going to be wishing that, Jason Williams would,
He
help
wishing
out.
he was the prosecutor on the cases. So speaking of that, how has this rash of like kids committing crimes affected things politically?
I think like how some of my political friends say, when it comes to like these kids and the crimes, it really trickles down all the way back to like kindergarten, third grade. Like education is like I said, we're ranked very low when it comes to education. So with that happens, I mean, you already know there's kids that's flunking out of school or they just don't see school appealing and they go the other way. So that's when you have these crimes. And in the city, because I follow like a lot of those like little social media pages where they posting stuff and everybody's what I like to say wishy-washy. You have one group of people, oh yeah, well they should be doing this to the kids, they should be doing that to the kids. And then the other group, oh that was too bad, that was too harsh. So it's like what you want like what you want them
It's
to do,
almost like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
right? That's basically what it is. And the DA has a tough job. And so if he prosecute one way, again, they're gonna have a group say, oh, that was too harsh. But then if he don't prosecute them, let them walk, oh, he's letting everybody out of jail. It's a tough position to be in. But at the same time, it's gonna get attention from people like the governor, Jeff Landry. He's like, hey, well, look, this city is out of control. The city brings way too much money for we to have this much crime. He's coming in with his New Orleans agenda, as he says, and go from there.
Yeah, I always found the conversation of crime like interesting because it's not something that you can control.
Yeah, not at all.
Something of opportunity. So all the think pieces and stuff like that that we hear, oh, we're gonna do this to curtail crime, that to curtail crime. Like you said, it starts with education. But I wanted to ask because we kind of went ahead. I want to bring it back to the beginning. You say you started off as a, doing campaign work and stuff like that, and now you're a panelist and campaign manager. Do you have any political aspirations?
Man, I get asked that all the time. All the time. At this time, because I always say no, but people say, that's what a lot of people, politicians say there was no. So at this time, I do not. And me personally, I'm not as political as you would think I am.
No.
I'm just me. I like to make a difference in the world and in my city, but I'm not, I don't fit that description. I don't, like I said, this is my first time being a panelist, so I'm not really like public speaking. I'm me, so you're not gonna be able to influence me to, go your way. I'm gonna do what I want to do. We'll still bump my trap music, I don't care. So at this time, no, not at all. But right now I love what I do, just continuing to educate everyone around me. And help get effective politicians in the office that I know are gonna do the work and not, BS the community.
Yeah, I remember from that event, and the biggest thing I took away from it was accountability. Yeah, you can talk to these politicians about, them going to office. They say, hey, we'll do this together, blah, blah. Once they get in there, it's like, okay, like you say you do this, what's going on? So,
Right.
what was your biggest takeaway from the event, as long as the whole accountability thing? Like, how do you feel that's what can hold these people accountable for what they do?
I mean, you can get a group of people to call the office every day. I mean, show up at the office. I mean, it's public information. I know Justin's online. But I mean,
What you mean, man?
I mean there's other ways, you know, like I hate to get into it
No,
because
go ahead. Go ahead. Go
but
ahead.
I mean obviously there's ways of like, you know, impeachment and, you know, trying to get them out the office like they did with Cantrell. But at the same time, as you saw, hey, everybody had problems with Cantrell, but nobody wanted to sign the petition because they were scared that their name was going to be public about
I mean, Shrek did. These characters,
it.
yeah. That's Shrek.
You know? Yeah, jokes aside.
Yeah, I have no issues with the mayor I used to work for.
Well, look, I don't have no issues with either. Just to say that. I have no issues with her either. But like I'm saying, when it comes to accountability, those are methods that you can use.
Now, I
But
want to ask you this. I'm sorry, finish your thought.
go ahead. No, what I'm saying, but you know, it just has to be effective. Like everybody has to be on the same page. Like when you get the opportunity, you know, you can't be scared about it, like, oh, I don't want to do it because, you know, now they like, okay, you tried it, and I can still do what I want to do because, you know, you're not gonna try it again, and that's it.
Now, I wasn't at the event. Marlon said accountability. Was there a discussion had about accountability on both ends? Not just people holding their elected officials accountable, but also people holding themselves accountable to participate more and be more active? Because I know from my work, which will be undisclosed, I ain't gonna say nothing, but for my work, oftentimes it's kind of hard to get the younger crowd to be engaged in different things. So I'm just
Right.
wondering, was that a part of the discussion as well or not?
You know, I don't think it was. I think it was more so just on like holding, you know, politicians accountable. Molly, am I wrong? I don't know.
So I do remember that it's important that we as people make sure we tell these young people to vote, like
Right,
go to
right.
school, like have these conversations, like, hey, like I think one of the guys is like the smoothies. He's like, hey, I'll come to school, do smoothies, but then we can still talk about politics. Like just trying to find different ways to inform the kids that hey, it's very important that you vote because your vote does matter. Another thing we talked about too is that the common statement was, why should I vote? Don't matter anyway. But like, no, it actually does because it can definitely swing one way or the other. So I do kind of remember some of that. Yeah.
I was like just in the moment, you know.
You're
So
nervous. I can tell you're nervous.
yeah, I was a little nervous. Like that
Yeah, I
whole
can
thing,
tell.
I was like, I don't want to do this. I'm about to pull out, but I'm glad I was there. But yeah, now you're saying it, yeah, we. You know, we had discussions about, you know, how to get the youth involved, which, you know, would be like, you know, reaching out to some of our local influencers to get them to promote things. And Morgan when Bike and Vote do a phenomenal job of trying to get out the vote. But again, it has to be our people going to the thing. Like Morgan literally has free transportation, which are bikes, that you can drive to the polls during early vote. So there's no excuse. It's a fun way to do it. It's not like you're just driving in the car
What if you
and
can't ride a bike?
what? You could drive behind them, I guess.
Okay, cool. Look, I'm good. I just,
Yeah,
yeah.
you gotta walk,
Get you
Bush.
a scooter, man. Get you a scooter. I'm
Yes.
gonna give, yeah, like I can't ride a bike. It
Or go kart or
just
something, you know?
look, I'm about the go-karts. Maybe I get one of them ATVs, they be riding uptown.
Yeah. And so she does a great job of that, even like with the panels. Like she always hosting panels. It's just that more people has to come. Like, you know, there's more people that go to her parties than come to the panels, which is a problem. So, you know, we just have to, you know, make politics fun, which she tries. It's just that it's not gonna be like, you know, one day everybody just gonna like, oh, I love politics. Like this is gonna be a
It's a
long.
process.
Yeah, it's a process. Like it's gonna take years and years for people to get comfortable with politics, and so many people has been messed over by politicians. Like I said, promising things and it's not happening. So they're like, "Hey, well, it don't matter to me." And then you know, I went to the panel that she had in Baton Rouge, and they said another thing. Like social media and the news outlets, they paint pictures one ways and influence us another way. So they saying like, oh, Trump this, gonna win that. So now our people are like, okay, well, it don't matter. Trump's gonna win anyway. But when you look at the data, he ain't like that how they make it seem.
I also got to remember too that I think it had meant one guy had mentioned that it'd be good to get the local influencers involved into promoting politics and voting. But the problem is too is that nobody wants to make this effort to sacrifice. with their name on there, say, hey, I'm the one pushing for everybody to vote. But it's more about collaboration of what's coming together. You know what? You take the lead. Let me do what I can to help promote voting. So yeah, I do remember that too as well.
Now, you know, the mayor does have an influencer group that does the same thing. She has a core group of local influencers that she's put together to trying to get people to come out and vote. I just think, you know, with politics and everything, I've done this for a very long time. It's issue based. You have, you know, two groups of people. You have the people who actually like love this work, and then you have the people who will come out for various issues. And that's the hard part because both need to come together for everything to work. But that's government. That's politics. That's society. Democracy.
And like, you know, when it comes to politicians and their viewpoints and things, you know, one issue that they may have may not affect you, but like, you know, how we said at the panel, it may affect somebody close to you. It may affect your kids, your grandparents. Like, it may affect somebody else. So like, look at all those things and be like, okay, how can this affect me or someone I know around me? I know politics is hard, but like I said,
it's a learning process, yeah,
it
definitely.
affects everything that we do every day. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, especially like, you know, people our age and younger. Like, they don't say, okay, well, look, I'm making money, I'm partying, I'm going to Miami, my life good. But they don't understand that, like, hey, the taxes on your plane ticket is affected by politics. Like, your car rental stuff is affected by politics. Like, they don't see that.
And I think we've lost like the idea of how day-to-day things are affected by politics.
Yeah,
It's a
like
disconnect from the average person because unless you're directly impacted by it, you don't really think about it. It's an afterthought until it's political season and you see advertisements everywhere.
Like
And so
even with my job, like I do accounting for a property management company named Greystar. And so right now they just roll out emails this past week that say, hey, we can't charge admin fees anymore. That was something that we would charge all applicants when they try to rent an apartment, but because of Joe Biden Junk Fee Act, we can't charge that anymore. Even, you know, things with the banks with overdraft fees, he's trying to get that lowered down. So it's like those things is everyday things that we deal with, but we just have to figure out a way to, like, you know, educate everybody, like, hey, everything you do is affected by government and politics. So, yeah.
Also too, man, I think I learned too from the event about finding out the language for the amendments. When they propose amendments, when you vote on those, like I'd be so confused by reading it, but somebody mentioned that there's a website to help you actually
Yeah,
dissect
so
each amendment. That should be confusing as hell. So that also affects us as well.
is yeah, and again, like, you know, we always focus on, you know, the candidates that's on the ballot, but we never look at the amendments that's on the ballot. And just like you, I don't understand the amendments either half the
Like,
time.
yes, no, yes. It sounds
So
good. Okay.
you're not supposed to. That's how they
My
write them.
cheat code.
My
It's
cheat
not.
code is
I got
I literally go to like certain politicians that I follow Instagram pages, and they will post, okay, vote yes here, vote no there. And I'm like, okay, well, I trust them, so I'm just going there and vote the same way.
So how would you recommend or how would you suggest younger people, those who are now legally able to vote, what are some recommendations you would have for them to learn about how they can engage politically? Like obviously voting, being registered to vote, making sure you know where your registration is, where your polling places are, all that stuff. But if they wanted to understand these things, like what avenues could you suggest for that?
The easiest one, my go-to is YouTube. They have literally crash courses broken down, and it breaking down all the way to like, hey, this is what the House does, this is what the Senate does, this is what the Supreme Court does, like all those things. Attending panels, like, you know, like how Bike and Vote has, the Power Coalition does things. And another thing is, like, you know, we always on our phone, we always on Instagram. There are different pages on Instagram that teaches you things, like Power Coalition. There's another one that I found is called So Informed, and it literally breaks down everything that's going on in our government right now, and just, you know, connecting with people that are in that field. And And when it comes to, campaign season and stuff, there are opportunities that you can join campaigns, either paid or volunteer. And just through that, you'll learn so much. So,
Yeah, but the paid part, I mean, the whole voluntary thing, I ain't even gonna fly with young kids because I ain't trying to volunteer my time. It's free, nah.
look,
But paid.
it's difficult. I've been on both sides when it comes to campaigns, trying to get, college students to come out for free. And it's like, look, I got groceries, I got this to pay. So I
Right.
completely understand. But when it comes to certain campaigns and certain candidates, they may not have that funds to pay all those different students and stuff. But there's always ways to get involved somehow.
Yeah, Charles told me that he would raise over 250 to run for District D, I think it was, for his
Yeah, I
election.
mean, campaigns are expensive, man. And
I know it was that expensive though, man. I had no idea it was that much.
look, and as it get higher and higher, like to the government level, you need millions. I mean,
Yeah.
you saw where Jeff at. Jeff had like $9 million. And he started campaigning a whole year before he even announced. Things cost high. Like you have to pay all your consultants. That costs a lot of money. You have to pay for like the yard signs that you see outside, the push cards that they give you at like church and stuff like that. Ads is expensive. Like
How
it's
much they
so
run in
thousands.
business?
TV ads, thousands. Like it's crazy. And when you think about it, depending on when you announce, which you always should announce as early as possible, but I mean, you looking at my like 6, 7 months of these expenses. And so you gotta keep fundraising, and it's hard. If you think it's hard to get people to vote, it's even harder to get people to give them money. It's difficult. So
Yeah.
it's like a lot of avenues that go into it, and that's why they're always looking for volunteers. But like you said, especially in today's economy, it's like,
Yeah.
not doing nothing for free, which look, I get it. I get
Yeah,
it.
that's tough, man. You're definitely in a tough position, but proud of you, man, doing a great job. Keep it up.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I mean, it takes a certain type of person to want to be involved to begin with, to actually care about it. And whether you have political aspirations or not in the future, you're making a difference in your community and other communities by getting involved and supporting candidates and make an effort to be on a panel and put information out and doing that stuff. So absolutely. We salute you for that, man.
No, yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I just was sick and tired of like, dealing with the same old stuff. Like again, like noticing like my everyday life is not how I want it to be. And I'm like,
Yeah.
okay, well, how can I influence that? And like I said, I'm not one of those people who's gonna have a bullhorn stand outside of City Hall like protesting. Like that's not me. So I figured, okay, well, let me go find somebody that can do that. And campaigns was one way. And now, get into like, being on panels and stuff, I'm able to inform everybody around me, and I'm getting some of my frat brothers that, trying to get involved into like just learning about politics. So I think it's a great thing, and I guess I'm gonna keep this going.
You should. That's
Well,
absolutely.
you
That's
sounding like a strong candidate, man.
Oh
I
man.
may rehearse.
No, not at all.
That's
Make
what's
sure
up.
everybody go vote on March 23rd.
We voting for.
So really, this March election is going to be low turnout, just like the governor's race, because there's no real candidates on there. It's mostly OPDEC and DSCC on the ballot. So yeah, I'm about to say super, super important, because these are the people who help endorse those candidates. And when you get to the DSCC level, that is endorsing statewide candidates along with the Democratic Party chair. So it's very important to go out and vote for these. And these people are like, some of these people are like your everyday people that you see in the grocery store in your neighborhood. And some of these people are already elected officials that's taking up the seats too. So yeah.
Yeah, we have someone on the chat right now who served on OPDEC.
Yeah, we see it.
Mr. Marvin.
Yeah.
I was there, then I didn't like it.
Oh yeah, I'm talking about Marlon. Marlon's a man. He's a
Only
man of
put
the
a
people.
smile on my name. That's what I was voting.
He's a man of the people, quiet as kept. So be on the lookout for Marlon Jr.
The second.
The I'm sorry, the second. That's gonna be his Marlon the second.
Coming. The second coming. That is.
Loose.
Second coming. Got it. Like it.
Yeah.
No or something.
Well, Master, look, man, I want to say thank you for coming on. Thank you for taking the time and, sharing your story with us, sharing what you're trying to do, how you're trying to be out here and reach people, reach our people specifically. And, man, just really want to thank you for taking the time and joining us today.
Man, I
Well, thank
appreciate
you for
y'all
being
for
active,
having
man. That's cool, man. I like that. Thank you for being active. No, for real, because
me. Good.
I'm proud.
Me
Appreciate
too.
it. That means a lot coming from y'all.
Well, from him, not from me, but from him.
Now from YouTube.
And that's another episode. Give us a like and follow on Facebook and Instagram at Day Late Dollar Show Podcast. And listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more.